If you would, let's stand and read God's word this morning, please. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. I'm going to read the first five verses, but after that, I'm going to be over there, so just stay in there and we'll go to other places. And it says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round and about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." And you shall live. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, again with thanksgiving in my heart. Lord, I just want to give you the glory. I want to give you the praise. And Lord, you know, Father, there's this time of year, Lord, we come to celebrate your birth. But Father, you know, Father, we celebrate the birth of your son. But Father, we just want to praise you this morning. We want to praise you for your son. We want to praise you for all that you've done for us, and how that you've blessed, and that Lord, that you continue to bless. And Father, we will praise you for that with all the breath we have in us this morning. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I tell you what, you read this, and most of you have read this story down through the years, and it's just, this is one of the best to me, one of the best salvation passages of Scripture there could be in the Bible. Because because you know, Ezekiel was given a very strange task, to say the least. You know, he was told to go out into a valley full of bones, and these bones were dry, so they'd been there for a while. And he said, and the scene, and you know what the scene represents? It represents desolation. It represents death. And that it represents the truth, you know what, of sin and despair in people's lives. Can I tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, thank the good Lord that you're saved, because if you're not, you're no different than these bones that are laying there that are dry and dead and without purpose in their lives. But in the end, this also is a story of hope. This is absolutely a story of hope. I can tell you this morning that Jesus Christ saved me one day, and if he saved me, he can save anybody. He can save you to the uttermost this morning, because he is that good. This is a message of hope. God tells Ezekiel to walk around in this valley and to get a good look. And then he asked the prophet, he says this to him, he said, listen, he said, can these bones live again? Can I tell you something this morning? Can I just be blunt with you this morning? You cannot fall in the depths of sin enough to where God cannot reach you this morning. You've not been down that deep yet to where God cannot reach down and grab you and pick you up and set your feet on a solid rock. Can these bones live again? Ezekiel, knowing that nothing is too hard for God, said, Lord, you know that they can. No matter where you're at this morning, I don't care if you're saved and you're struggling. I don't care if you're lost and in need of a Savior. I don't care if you're backslidden here this morning or serving God with all that you got in you this morning. I believe this message is for you. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear it this morning. I don't know where you're at here this morning, but I do know, hear what God has to say to you. You better not be depending on a church. You better not be depending on a seminary or on a preacher. You better not be depending on a program or anything else under the sun. Brothers, it produces a movement for God. There's only one thing that does, and you should be on your knees. You should be fasting, and you say, Lord, lift these dry bones up. Lord, show me what's needed in my life. And with all of your heart, say to God, I want a movement. You got to want it. Do you understand what I'm saying here this morning? I don't care if you've been in church 120 years. You got to want God to move in your life to get a movement of God. You're not going to get it, but just sitting back there and not doing anything. You could sit there on your backside the rest of your life and never feel the movement of God in your life. You got to want it. And he said, a movement that will shake your family, a movement that will shake this church, a movement that will shake this community, a movement that will shake this nation. You can sit there and complain about this nation all you want, but have you got on your knees and fasted about it and said, God, move it, whatever it takes? Have you said that? Because if you haven't said that, don't complain to God about this nation yet. What? You're shaking. What? You want joy in going to church? You want to praise God within your soul? You want what praise to come forth from your lips whenever you're not even prodded to do it? Psalms 85:6 says this: Will thou not receive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Will thou not revive us again, that thou people may rejoice in thee? I'm going to tell you, it takes revival. It takes the moving of the Spirit in your life to give you that desire to want to stand up and to praise Him. I can tell you right now, you could get up here and praise Him without the Spirit, and all it is words. Amen? You can stand up and you can try to testify without the Spirit, and all it is words. I'm here to tell you, you need the Spirit moving in within you. You need it to come out and to prod you, not me, not anybody else in this church. It's got to be the Spirit to do it. You wanting to be revived this morning? But I'm going to tell you, before you leave this church this morning, He wants to revive you. Can I have an amen? He doesn't want to see nobody go out of this church dry boned. He don't want to see that this morning. Praise should come freely from your lips. Jesus is the greatest phenomenon that's ever come across this planet. You should be wanting to shout the place down this morning. Praise His name this morning. He is the greatest thing that ever happened to this planet. For you and for me. Jesus is God's only Son. He is a friend to the sinner. Praise Him. He is the sinner Savior this morning, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to what? The riches of His grace. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord this morning. Hear it. Are you tired of hearing how church used to be? I got tired of hearing how church used to be. I get tired of hearing how people stand up. Well, church used to be this way, and church used to be that way. Well, I'm here to tell you, listen to me, old dry bones, listen to me. Are you tired? Say, God, I'm tired of hearing how it used to be. You know, it's how revivals used to be, how church services used to be, how people would fill the altars, how people weren't afraid to praise God, how people would get in their prayer closets at home, and how that they would get on their knees and they would pray till they got through to God. Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. What he's saying, Lord, I have heard of what you have done and I was amazed. But listen to the rest of it. O Lord, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In the midst of my years, make it known. Listen, you know what he's saying there? I've heard how it used to be. I heard how it used to be. I heard how you brought people across the Red Sea. I heard how you did all these marvelous works. But God, in my generation, in my time, I'm asking you to do something now, today, in my generation, in my time. God, I want you to work in my time the way that you used to work. God, I want the people to be free. I want people healed. I want to see things done. And praise God here this morning. The way that could be done is to say, God, you work the way that you used to work. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The authority that we have is not based on our feelings. Do you understand that this morning? Man, I love feeling the Spirit in my life, and you should too, but it's not all based on the feelings. The spiritual authority that we have comes from the Scriptures. Did you know that? Verily, I say unto you, whosoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth in touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be none of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. That's authority. That's authority. That's the word of God authority. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but for mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You may not be feeling the Spirit here this morning, but I want to tell you something. You can still stand on the authority of God's word this morning. Take away from the authority of the scriptures that God has placed upon his children. Did you know that? David, a man after God's own heart, went through dry spells. If you are born again here this morning, you're going to go through dry spells in your life. It's just part of walking in this Christian walk. You will go through them. David did it. David said, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early while I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is." I'm telling you this morning, there are times I walk through dry places and I feel that there's nothing there for me right now. But you know what I do? I keep putting one foot in front of the other. I keep on walking by faith. I keep on walking and say, "Lord, you use me. I know you saved me. I'm going to walk by faith and you're going to get me through this." And whenever he gets me on the other side, praise his name, that's shouting territory there. We have to be persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that his word is true and that the Bible is true. That's authority, brother. So when we proclaim God's word, anything is possible. Hebrews 4:12 says that all scripture is living and that it is powerful. Amen? The scripture is alive. And it impacts new life in 1 Peter 1:13. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By what? By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus declared in John 6:63, "The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That is the authority of the word of God. We read the life-giving words of God and we say that to stuff all that stuff into our brains. But brothers, when we do that, that's what transforms our lives. The more that you get into it, the more that you read, and the more that you claim the authority of God's word on your life. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can do that this morning. Amen. When was the last time the Bible made a difference in your life? I'm asking you this morning. When was the last time that the Bible actually made a difference in your life? I mean, it can do that. Romans 4:21, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Amen. Are you fully persuaded this morning? I hope and pray that you are. Are ye dry bones? Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Hear it. John 4:23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." As Ezekiel tells these dry bones to together and take on flesh, yet without life. He says this in Ezekiel 37:8. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." Folks, there was no breath in them. They were walking, that they were there, there was nothing, they had the flesh on them, they had the eyes, they had everything, the ears, had everything, but there was no breath in them. Kind of reminds me of church once in a while. Kind of reminds me of a lot of churches once in a while. Kind of reminds me of a lot of people that sit in churches once in a while. They're sitting there, they got eyes to hear, they got ears to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear, and brothers and sisters, they just keep right on going because the Spirit of God is not in them. I'm here to tell you this morning, Ezekiel prophesied over him, and it said the Spirit come from the four corners of the earth. The wind came and come upon them, and there was life in them. There's a lot of church. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:1 and 2 that apart from God, we are spiritually dead in our transgressions and our sins. We are not merely sick. My Bible tells me we are dead in our sins without the Spirit of God. You're just not sitting here sick. You are spiritually dead. Paul also assures us in Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of the flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses." I'm here to tell you, just like when he prophesied over his bones, the Spirit comes into them. Whenever you pray and you ask God to forgive and to continue to make you stronger, I'm telling you, the dry bones will live again. God was tired of old dried up worship. He was tired of it. God was tired of old dead dried up church services. An individual or church with head knowledge is only like the scribes and the Pharisees when Jesus told them this: "For ye are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanliness." They look good on the outside. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been in a lot of churches where people looked awful good. I'm just telling you, they dressed prim and proper. They were nice. They had all the right stuff. In their mind, they were dressed up just right. But brothers and sisters, there was nothing. They were just like whited sepulchers. Just like whited sepulchers. You have to have it there, but you got it here, but they don't have it here. You see what I'm saying? They've got it up here. There's a lot of people that have it up here. They can tell you what this means in Greek, and they can tell you what this means in Hebrew, and they can tell you all manner of stuff. But you got to have it here to understand it. And the other side of that coin, the coin is this. And I thought about this. Emotion without knowledge is without understanding. It's just words and it's empty. You know what I'm saying? You can have all the emotion you want. I've seen a lot of people that run real good on emotion for a while, Larry. They're real good on it. But once that emotion leaves, then there's nothing. They don't get into the Word of God. They don't get into the Word of God to try to figure out what's right and what's wrong on this stuff. Listen to me. I'm telling you this morning that, brother, there's a two-sided coin on this thing. And, brother, it's not all about emotion, and it's not all about knowledge. We've got to have them both. True worship comes from people who are emotional and who are grounded in the Word. Can I have an amen? Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Christian doctrine is not man-made doctrine. I'm going to give you some doctrines this morning. They come straight from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 6:17. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." That's a doctrine. It comes straight from the Word of God. It isn't nothing I made up. 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? It is not in him." Colossians 3:2, "Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth." Brothers, that's doctrines right there. That's doctrines we can live by as Christians. That's doctrines, brothers and sisters, that'll help us grow. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. When you come to know Jesus, there will be a supernatural change in your life. I got saved, there was a supernatural change in my life. I'm going to stand behind that till the day I know what happened to me. I know exactly where it happened. I know what flooded into my soul. I know the Spirit come rushing in. There was a supernatural change in my life. "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind," prophecy, "son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. They stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Praise his name this morning. Brother, you're not alone. You're not alone out there as a Christian. You may think you are. You may think that there's nobody else around. You may think that no other church has it. You may think a lot of different things. But I'm here to tell you, anybody that is born of the Spirit, they've got it. And there's an army out there. And we're going to still be on this earth until the Lord comes back to either get his church or he takes us out of here one by one. 2 Corinthians 5:70, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." You won't believe, you won't get up out of that altar, no matter where it's at, if you've got saved with any doubt in your mind. Amen. You're not going to do it. You get up out of there, you're going to know that you were born again, that you are saved. Because the Spirit of God will flood you that way. You're going to know. It's just there's no doubt in my mind that you will know. You won't have to leave here with any doubt in your mind this morning. When you come into His presence, you will leave a changed man and a woman. You cannot help but come into His presence and leave changed. One way or another. And you won't leave you to navigate this world on your own either. John 14:26, one of my favorite scriptures. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. How do I get this? How do you get the Spirit? Acts 2:38. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how it works. But can I say this? He will come back to your presence even after that. He will come to you and He will sup with you. Didn't He say over in Revelations, He said, behold, I knock, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open up, He said what? He said He will come in and sup with you. I'll tell you what, Doug, I've had a lot of suppers with Him. And I'll tell you what, you can have a lot of suppers with Him too. He will come in and He will sup with you. He will sit down with you. And He will, in the Spirit of God, and He will show you things in His Word. He will show you how to, He will do that. Stay there a while. Don't get any hurry to leave whenever He comes to you. Don't do that. Don't try to rush Him away. Keep Him right there. Revelations, I'm going to read it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Isn't that awesome? He wants a relationship with you. I love this in Ecclesiastes. The Lord showed me this morning, Ecclesiastes 8:3. Be not hasty to go out of His sight. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about whenever you're in the presence of the king. It said, whenever someone was in the presence of the king, it said, don't be hasty to get out of His sight. Can I tell you here this morning, when you get in the presence of the king, Greg, don't be hasty to get out of His sight. Don't be hasty to get out of His sight. The Lord said, Lord, show me that this morning. He said, listen, don't be hasty whenever He comes to you and you feel His presence. Don't try to get away from it. Try to stay there and get as much of it as you can get. Try to do this. And something else too. Some people will put up windbreaks whenever the Spirit of God comes rushing in. But praise God, I want to open the window. I want to open it full bore. I want Him to come in. I want to sup with Him. I want to feel His presence as I go. And that's the way we should all want to do. Oh, hear ye, ye dry bones. You can live again. I don't know. Belinda comes and gets the song here this morning. I'm about done. But I want to talk to you just like I would talk to one of my kids or talk to my wife. I just want to talk to you and tell you this. Listen to me. If you're standing back, I don't care. Don't be embarrassed about coming to this altar. Don't. Sometimes we feel like, you may be standing back here and you just need to come up here and just pray. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you on that. I don't care how often you come up here and pray. That's not what this is about. Come and pray. You may be sitting back there this morning. Maybe you are lost. Listen to me. Don't let the devil tell you that this is a bunch of nonsense and that, you know what, it ain't going to do a bit of good. If the Spirit of God is dealing with you, come up here. Grab one of us by the hand. Come up here. Do whatever. And let's get down and let's pray. Let's get down to business with God. How about that? Let's get down to business with Him this morning. Listen, brothers, He can make these dry bones. He can make them live again. He can make something out of you that you would never, ever know that you could be. Amen? I'm going to tell you what, if He can make a preacher out of this boy, it's hard to tell what He can do out of you. I'm here to tell you this morning, He can do that. My God's able to do that stuff. Those dry bones, let's just come up here and let's just get them back alive. How about that this morning?